This is Morning Edition on KUNC. I'm Erin O'Toole. This week, Broomfield officials head to court. They're seeking to finalize voter results on a proposed 5-year moratorium on hydraulic fracturing. And that's not the only anti-fracking initiative to land in court. Right now, 3 communities, Longmont, Lafayette, and Fort Collins, are embroiled in lawsuits stemming from citizen-initiated restrictions on fracking. KUNC's Grace Hood is here to untangle all of these lawsuits and explain how they actually have a historical connection to the city of Greeley. Hi, Grace.
Good morning.
So what is this Greeley connection?
You know, you think of Greeley as an oil and gas town. There's hundreds of wells inside city limits. But back in the 80s, it was a pretty different story. Residents were uncomfortable with an increasing level of oil and gas development inside city limits. And in 1985, Greeley voters overwhelmingly passed a ban on oil and gas development.
Very different. Now, Colorado is a split estate, meaning that land or surface rights and mineral rights can be owned by different parties. So what did the mineral rights holders think about this ban?
They didn't like it. There were lawsuits that were quickly filed after that ban in 1985. And basically, they worked their way up to the state Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruling is called Voss versus Lundvall Brothers. And the ruling from the Supreme Court went a little something like this. Colorado is required by state law to ensure efficient development of mineral rights. That's enshrined in something called the Oil and Gas Conservation Act. So when you have a local ban, that's going against state law. I spoke with Richard Brady. He's a retired city attorney for Greeley, and he explains the court's reasoning this way.
The reason they didn't find this a matter of purely local concern is that we impacted people outside the city of Greeley. Oil and gas doesn't respect property boundaries or city political boundaries. And so the same pool of oil and gas that's underground may go under several cities or multiple counties or even different states.
So the state Supreme Court decided that it couldn't have dramatically different rules across different cities that share this one giant pool of oil. But their decision did leave some wiggle room, a place for cities to regulate oil and gas development.
Interesting. Now, going back to today's fracking court cases, do these restrictions fit into those permissible local regulations?
I spoke with David Neslin. He's a Denver attorney and also the former head of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Here's what he had to say.
Because the formations being developed require hydraulic fracturing to be economically produced. So if a local government is prohibiting hydraulic fracturing, it is in effect prohibiting the development of additional oil and gas wells within the jurisdiction in a manner similar to that was invalidated in the Voss case.
Now, again, that Voss case does have to do with the Greeley ban. Mm-hmm. Neslin says many law practitioners view this issue as pretty black and white, and that's why we've heard Governor Hickenlooper, the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, making kind of the same point about why they believe these bans are illegal.
Well, I know that the Lafayette and the Longmont court cases have to do with outright bans, while Fort Collins is a moratorium. Does that make a difference?
I think it's going to be really interesting to watch that issue. I spoke with Kevin Lynch. He works at University of Denver's Environmental Law Clinic about this question. And the clinic is representing groups like the Sierra Club. And just earlier this month, they filed an action in court seeking to join Fort Collins and basically help defend their anti-fracking measure.
And it's a moratorium, so it's not a ban for all time. It doesn't mean that, oil and gas companies that have mineral interests that need Fort Collins can't access them in the future. It just means that we're going to, you know, take a step back, call a timeout, and not rush ahead with fracking.
But I think that others in the legal profession would argue that a 5-year moratorium is basically a temporary ban. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the courts tease out this issue.
Yeah, definitely. Well, going back to Greeley's 1985 ban, I'm curious what your sense was when you were investigating this. It seems like a pretty similar court case. Are there lessons to be drawn?
Absolutely. The biggest one for me was that it's going to take years for this issue to get resolved in court. The Greeley ban was passed in 85. Supreme Court ruling was in 1992. That's 7 years. That's
wow.
A long time. But the other takeaway that I found kind of interesting has to do with framing outcomes. I mean, back in 1992, Greeley maybe could be construed as the loser. They had to pay settlement fees. You know, they lost the court case. But The other outcome that happened outside of the courts is that it spurred this new round of rulemaking that addressed some of the concerns that Greeley residents had back in the 80s. Here's Attorney David Neslin again.
One of the outgrowths in the 90s was an expansion of the state's environmental requirements for oil and gas development that occurred in the mid and late 90s. You know, it's certainly possible that there will be new regulations adopted in connection with these current concerns.
So it sounds like we could see some impact on regulations, perhaps regardless of how the courts decide in these cases.
Definitely something to watch.
Thank you for sorting all this out for us.
My pleasure.